It's a continuation of the Jesus lifestyle that we're looking at on our Sunday mornings and also at our life group communities. Stuart, thanks.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Stuart, for reading to us there. We can see where Judah is growing as an aspiring newsreader from his father there. So thank you very much. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now and just submit ourselves to your word. We submit ourselves to your ways. And we submit ourselves to your goodness and your grace, which you have poured into our lives through Jesus. We surrender to your ways and say, Lord Jesus, pour more of your love into me, that I might be able to pour more of my love back to you and into your kingdom, so that we can see lives transformed, hope brought to the hopeless, relief of suffering to those who are suffering, and freedom and release from the temporary vanishing things that we might build up in this life. In your name, amen. Amen. Yes, thank you very much, Stuart, for reading to us. And yes, we are continuing our series looking at the Sermon on the Mount using the Nicky Gumbel book, the Jesus Lifestyle book, to consider what Jesus is teaching us here on the Sermon on the Mount. In the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching us about what sort of people we should be as Christians, how we should love our neighbor, how we should treat our enemies, and how we should deal with conflict. And now we're moving on to a new phase, a new section of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is looking at our unseen relationship with God, our unseen relationship with God. He starts off with our giving, then he looks at our prayer and our fasting. Some really big, challenging topics, both then and now. And we live in interesting times as far as giving goes. As a country, the United Kingdom is set to cut its overseas aid budgets, while some of the richest people in the world, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, in recent years have created the Giving Pledge to help the super wealthy give away their money to charitable causes to help the world. So giving can feel like something that is nice to do when you're super rich, but when cash is tight, it can sometimes be a convenient thing to cut back on. Yet God is the great giver to us, and he has already given us so much and continues to do that. And he tells us to be generous givers back to him. He tells us to develop habits in which giving to God is something that points to him and doesn't big up ourselves. So how can we become generous givers to God? Well, the first thing is we need a change in our hearts. We need our hearts to be transformed to ones who love God, who have received God's love. And it's not until our hearts are transformed that our wallets and our purses can be transformed. So there's no point trying to give unless we have let God change our hearts. Sometimes we can think of the wallet as the last thing to be converted or given over to God. We might say, yes, God, you can have my time, you can have my thoughts, you can have my desires, you can have my talents and skills, but my money, That is mine because I have earned it. I have saved up for it. I've used it cleverly and wisely. Yet God is the one who has made all things. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the underwriter of all things. He has given us our jobs, our skills, our talents, our positions. We are only managers, temporary stewards in the interim. And Jesus taught on wealth extensively, yeah? And he spoke in Luke 12, chapter 13, on this. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have enough room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have stored enough away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night, and who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." And Jesus here is making the very obvious point that we can store up and build up wealth here, but it can be gone in a flash. It can be gone because we can't take it with us where we're going. When we die, it won't go with us. And what we do have can disappear so quickly. We might think, well, I live in a stable country where my bank savings are underwritten. There's no chance of me losing this wealth that I might build up. Yet we might look at the pension app or the trading stocks, and they might go down. The people of Syria and Ukraine might have thought their savings and their house were safe, but war came and ravaged and destroyed. The people of California might have thought that their houses were safe and secure, and their possessions were safe. Yet the fire came. And it might not be a fire or it might not be a war, but it's so easy for us, for our possessions, our houses, whatever we might have, to be taken from us. And God says, store up your wealth somewhere that it can't be taken from you. Invest in your relationship with God. So we are commanded to give to God. Throughout the Bible, we see different examples of how God's people gave generously to God. And there are patterns that we should follow, as well as recognizing that sometimes God calls us to extraordinary gifts, to give extraordinary gifts to God at times. But the pattern is, firstly, to give regularly. That means putting in place habits to make sure that we remember to give regularly. For many people here, that might be using standing orders so that money goes each month to God's work. That means that we'll never miss out on our giving. The second thing is to give proportionately. We all earn or have different amounts of wealth, and we have different financial situations. There is not a certain membership fee for a church. There is not a wealth threshold which is too high or too low to be a part of God's people. But we also don't get to say, well, I've paid my bit. I'm sure I've paid more than most people here, so that's probably enough. And we don't get to say, well, I earn or have so little, I shouldn't give at all to God's work. And we also don't get to say, well, I'm the best giver here, so I get the most say. No, God sees the heart behind our giving. So it should be proportionate to our wealth, should be wise. We shouldn't be putting ourselves in financial hardship. But he calls the rich to be rich towards him, and he calls those with less to be faithful with what they have, which is point three, which is to give generously. And when we give generously, we can give cheerfully, which is point four, give cheerfully. We don't begrudge what we give to God, but it's a joyful act of worship. So give cheerfully. So let our hearts and our wallets be converted to God, so we can give regularly, proportionally, generously, and cheerfully to him. Our second focus in order to become a cheerful giver is to build your secret life with God. So Jesus, in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, is talking about our secret life with God, our giving, our prayer, and our fasting. And he starts with our giving. Our giving is not meant for public viewing. It's not meant to be something that we show off or demonstrate in front of other people. Sometimes there might be a necessary time where we have to give publicly in order to help somebody in a particular moment of need. But in general, our giving should be private and unseen. Because Jesus says to not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And the point here isn't that we're rummaging about blindly in our pockets and pulling out some cash, or we're bashing some numbers into the banking app to see what we'll give this month, which could be more risky than reaching into the pocket. But the point is that we are preventing ourselves from self-righteousness and self-congratulation and pride and egotism. We are not being overtly dragging ourselves to give and reflecting on how much we have given and making that a pain to ourselves. Instead, we are allowing that giving to flow from us as a cheerful act of giving and worship and love in return for the love that God has given us. And this giving is done not to show those around us, not to receive praise from people around us, but to give glory to God. Because Jesus says that if we get honor from other people, and that's what we seek after in our giving, then that's all we will get. So our giving is in humble submission to God, to point to him and not to point to ourselves. Our motive is to glorify God and to bring about his work with our wealth and our money that we give back to him. So to become generous givers, we look to build up this secret life with God, this secret anchor and waiting in our relationship with God, which is our giving, our prayer, and our fasting. So in order to become more generous givers, we need to become more like God. We need to become more like God. So no matter how good a giver we become, we can never outgive the great gift giver of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus to give up his life for us. Jesus, the most wealthy being in all of the universe, richer than Warren Buffett, richer than Elon Musk, he came and lived as a first century Jew in conditions that we would say are very, very basic. He gave up that omnipotent, all-powerful, all-ruling, governing position that he had to live a very simple life and to die for us on a cross. We need to become more like God so that we can become generous givers, because God is the great gift giver to us and he held nothing back. Fourthly, we should benefit from God's reward so that we can become generous givers. So as we receive God's love, as we receive his mercy, as we receive his goodness and forgiveness, it overflows out of us. It overflows to our family. It overflows to our neighbors. It overflows to our church, our city, our world. And it's this overflow of God's love in us that produces a natural response, a natural unstoppable part of us which looks to give back to God. And this giving involves financial giving. And the more we give to God, the more he blesses us. He doesn't promise us riches. He doesn't promise us prosperity. But he promises to be with us. He promises to bless us, to bring us peace, to give us joy. And as we invest in this heavenly, eternal kingdom, he gives us his peace. But this doesn't mean we're financially irresponsible. It means that we're wise and we recognize the temporary nature of our wealth here. Luke 12:33, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Our giving is not transactional. It's not a case of, well, I've given X percentage of my wealth, which is probably fairly good, so therefore I'm going to get a premium economy seat in heaven. That'll be good. I'll be comfy. I'll be happy with that. No, our giving is about a relationship. It's about giving back to God as we're given to us. It's like at Christmas, if somebody's always giving you presents at Christmas and you're at a Christmas Day party and people are giving presents, you're going to feel embarrassed and like you need to give a gift back. And it's not that we're giving back out of embarrassment to God. It's we're giving back because he has so richly blessed us and he continues to do that. And it's from that position of receiving that we want to give back to him and draw closer to him. So let's benefit from God's reward so that we can become joyful givers. And as we give generously to God, this changes the world around us. It changes the world around us. It changes lives. It leaves a legacy of God's grace. It builds up his kingdom. It leads to people coming to know him. I was reminded about how health investments are judged in the United Kingdom. Maybe more interesting for me than for you, but it's judged on quality of life index. So a treatment might be very expensive, but if it makes a big difference, then maybe the NHS will pay for it. Whereas maybe if something's very expensive and the benefit is very little, then it might not pay for it. Well, when it comes to giving to God, and we have lives changed forever as they come to know Jesus, how good a return on our investment is that? How can you measure that change to someone's life? Even here, as we're in this church, we have a legacy of the giving that people have given before us. You know, 120 years ago now, people gave and they built this building that we get to worship in and enjoy. But it's also in the giving that relieves suffering, the giving that relieves anguish, the giving that relieves those without hope and brings hope and light to darkness. And God's plan A for bringing about his purposes here on this earth is the church. It's us. It's the local church. That is what God has designed to bring about his purposes here. So as we give generously to God, we will see the world around us start to change. So that's how to be a generous giver. Be converted in your wallet. Let God's heart take over. Build your secret life with God. Become more like God. Benefit from God's reward and begin to change the world around you. And when I was praying into this message and thinking about it, God gave me a picture of what he wanted from us today and from me, maybe. The first thing was simply to sit in his presence and to be with him and to know him. The second thing was to lie down in surrender before him, to accept his grace over me, like waves of grace and mercy and peace, to know the joy that he brings you, to know the freedom that he brings, to know his pleasure in you as you look to follow him. And it is in this place of surrender, as we accept his mercy and grace, it is in this place of submission at the foot of the cross where we receive his goodness poured into our lives, that we can become a joyful giver. It is only in that place, at the foot of the cross, receiving his mercy and goodness, that we can do that. So today we need to surrender to God, find our joy in him, counter the materialism and the short-lived things that we might gain from our wealth with giving to God. Stop fighting this never-satisfying race of acquiring more and more, and start giving more and more to God so that we can be filled with his joy, we can find freedom, and we can find release from materialism and dissatisfaction. Let's stand and pray. Lord Jesus, so many of us are burdened about worries about money. Some of us, it might be about having too little, about finding where the next paycheck will come from. Worries about job, worries about debt. Lord God, it can be constantly on our mind. Some of us might be scared of losing our money, losing our wealth, losing our ability to self-determine. Lord God, only you can satisfy. Only you can bring freedom. Only in you is our investment secure. Only in you can we carry our riches forward. Lord Jesus, release us from the bonds that bind us here. Release us from materialism. Lord Jesus, help us to be generous givers. Help us to surrender to you today. Help us to see beyond just what is around us and to see what you are doing here. Lord God, build up habits in this church of regular giving, wise giving. Help us to help each other in times of need. Lord God, help us to surrender to your grace and to your love and to be a church overflowing with your love and your generosity. In your name, amen. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Lord, you've made us your children through Jesus Christ, and we give you thanks and praise for all your goodness and your love for us. Lord, we want to express our trust in you that you are good.